Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. The Astrology Hour is produced by Leo Scorpio Productions in association with the Astrology Hour Club and the people of Southern California. And I am excited about the weekend. Yeah, I'm excited about the weekend for a few reasons. Number one, my boat's fixed, so I'm going boating. Boy, that little Taurus has been hurting. Number two, the moon wobble's almost over. Thank God. Did you see that freak plane crash and that plane incident in Hawaii? That's moon wobble for you, folks. And also, I just am happy and I'm celebrating life, health, happiness, and anything positive and affirmative. And gosh, I had such a good time yesterday. Thank you for your support of yesterday's show on the Scorpio Factor. Today, the topic is called pain, rebirth, and evolution of the soul. As we talk about some of the tougher transits in life, some of our toughest options, what causes pain, how to go through it, what the result of finishing and completion is all about, and why it's best to just embrace the whole puppy and say, let the universe deal with it, right? Anyway, don't worry, be happy. That's our motto around here. All right. Karen has a general question from yesterday. Let's go right to her. Karen, how are you?
Hi, Farley.
What's your question?
Well, it's kind of anticlimactic today, but if everybody's fresh in their mind, I wanted to just share with them the analogy of the Scorpio energy. When it releases, it's like a volcanic eruption. It erupts, and the lava spills over, and then it cools, and it's over. There's no harboring the anger, the emotions, or whatever was expressed.
Uh-huh. So unlike some energy, like maybe a Cancerian energy, that may hang on to the past and harbor a little of that negative force, when the Scorpio energy explodes, it is a release, it is a completion, and it's usually over.
Right.
All right. Thank you for sharing that with us, Karen Lloyd, famous astrologer.
Thank you, Farley.
Okay. Well, you know, the good thing about life that I love and the good thing about eternity and infinity is that all things must pass, and they do pass. Eventually, we do come out of the woodwork. We do come out of the forest. Things never are really that intensely, eternally horrible, even if someone, God forbid, has a terminal illness. The phrase terminal means eventually it will be over and they will have some salvation in the fact that they will go through a transformation from the physical to the spiritual. But, of course, that's all in its own perspective. But one thing that we must constantly be aware of in life, and if you want to call life a generator of some kind, I think that third-dimensional life is a passion, pleasure, pain generator, which means that when I study astrology, when I research astrology, I use astrology and metaphysics to figure out the pleasure syndrome and also to understand when I can go through pain. Being an astrologer and being a metaphysician is fun because not only do we realize when we're going through the good times, but we also know when it's a possibility or an option for us to have pain. Well, if you talk about Farley prehistoric, right, which is pre-astrology, and then Farley post-astrology, which is like more futuristic, I was totally two different people because whenever I was sick with the flu or if I did have a headache or if someone did die or if I did break up or get rejected or whatever, then I always went through a pain process, never knowing that the end result would be a completion, would be a release, would be a rebirth and eventual evolution. Until, along with yesterday's topic, a lot of you with Scorpio Factor from yesterday's show are very, very used to not only the pain, but we also call that intense trauma. Whether it's emotional, mental, physical, or spiritual, many of us have gone through this emotional trauma from rejection, from dejection, from loss of life, or from tragic accidents, or from hostile surgery, which I call radical surgery, okay? And any incident in your life that is so gestalt, like when I was in high school and college, my professors were so intense in teaching Farley about gestalt psychology that I was even in the room, in the cage, with the rat, and it's amazing. They showed me how they train these rats, right? And then I wasn't aware of what was going on, but I'm a little upset about how they do this to the animals now. But back then, if the rat did the behavior that they like the rat to do, well, then it was given something to eat. And sometimes these rats were starving. They were dying of starvation, so they were pretty darn hungry, and it wasn't hard for them to do what they were supposed to do. But if they did what they weren't supposed to do, let's say they went over to the red handle and started nibbling on it, then they got a few volts through the bottom of the cage where they got the shock. And if they went over to the blue handle and touched that, well, then the food tray opened up and a couple of pellets of food would drop in. So eventually the rats knew and learned never to go over to the red button, okay? Never touch that red button. Well, you know, life is just like that. Many of us live our lives totally in a fog, totally veiled. Many atheists, agnostic people that give no perfect to life, existentialists, no purpose, no mission, no karma. They don't believe in any of that. And they just live their life in a pell-mell rag of whatever happens, happens. And, you know, one day sometimes you get shocked, whether you've been smoking cigarettes all your life, and one day you have a heart attack or a severe lung problem, or whether you're into hostile, violent sexual practices, and then, God forbid, you should come down with a dread virus or a disease like AIDS or something. Like, you go ahead and you live your life in this pell-mell fashion, and the universe is so gestalt, it is so totally gestalt, that obviously, from what I have learned logically, that if you go through a situation and press that red button and you get shocked, you should be smart enough not to go back to that red button, which means cut off that sort of behavior. It's like you take the guy that gets drunk all the time or gets stoned or cokes up and has already had 3 or 4 or 5 driving under the influence, right, tickets. He's been in jail. He's had a couple of accidents, and boom, one tragic accident where someone actually dies, and he ends up in the hospital and almost dies himself. Well, if this guy does not come out of the hospital with a totally revamped attitude, we're talking, he's hit that red button and got major shock, right? The red button obviously is the drinking, in this example, that he definitely would not want to go back to that sort of behavior because he doesn't want to go through the pain syndrome. Now, there's all types of examples every day in life. I mean, you can make that red button a relationship. A particular person that you keep wanting to go out with, and they keep using you or dumping you, and you keep feeling that hurt afterwards, or that shock that the rat gets. What I call the blue button behavior, or when you get rewarded, is when you grow, and when you evolve, or when you have enough sense, and enough logic, and enough metaphysical inclination where you can identify the red button and what the wrong behavior was, or what behavior actually catalyzed the pain, and then by understanding this logic, go through a rebirth, go through a transition and a transformation, and start more blue button behavior. In my life, I've been so gestalt that I try so hard to be nice to myself, be nice and respect myself and other people, keep my self-esteem at a high level, embrace all experiences, whether they're painful or pleasurable, knowing that it's important that I understand what is going on, that everything is brought to me for a very perfect karmic purpose, and not dwelling on it or worrying about it. See, a lot of my red button behavior was self-destruction, low self-esteem, drug and alcohol experimentation, manipulation, charm, usury, all kinds of weird stuff that eventually I identified as stuff that was negative for me and eventually became negative karma. And obviously, when you go through a hard transit, let's say you are having a Saturn return or a Saturn square Saturn or Saturn square or oppose anything in your chart or Uranus or Neptune or any long planetary effect where you are definitely holding on to something. I kind of like reminds me of a movie that Eddie Murphy was in, where in order to grab the goblet, you had to have pure and innocent thought. Otherwise, if you stuck your hand in to grab the goblet, it got fried by this little flamethrower effect. And that's what happens. We grab onto situations during these transits. And the wonderful thing I love about astrology is when you learn about these cycles, like the midlife crisis effect that goes on from age 38 to age 44, and the Saturn return that lasts from 27 to 30, or one of the first crisis effects in your life when you're 21, you're having a Saturn cycle. When you're 14, you're having a Saturn opposition. And we're not aware that people we know and people we love and ourselves go through these tiger tail type transits where we are literally questing for, dreaming about, are hanging on to things in our life that are red button behavior, that are really not good for us, that are not really beneficial to our mission in life or our soul growth. And that's the wonderful thing about karma. When you get the red button behavior, and when you have grabbed the tiger by the tail, and when you have been bitten or rended asunder by the claws a few times, if you're wise enough, you'll let go. And by letting go, your soul and your higher self goes through some kind of awesome, excellent transition where you receive benefits because you were wise enough to see in perspective, objectively speaking, what the obsession was, what the red button behavior was, and because you were able to let go and process and reach a point of completion, then you have that rebirth, you are renewed, you feel much better, the pain is reduced if not totally removed, and you totally go into a blissful state of growth and evolution. And I personally have reached this level of growth about, I'd say, over 15 to 20 times in my life, all the way back to the BB gun incident when I was 12, my first trauma. Well, actually, my very first trauma was the tonsils and adenoids out when I was 2. And then I put a stick through the roof of my mouth when I was like 5 in the car. That was fun. And then I also caught a ricochet from a BB rifle when I was 12. So by the time I was 13, I'd had enough rebirths where I didn't want to go into the hospital anymore. I was willing to do whatever necessary to stay out of that. And I knew that guns were bad because of the BB thing. So I was real smart. I was real pain conscious that I didn't want to do any more red button behavior like that rat and get shocked. And I learned that understanding this Gestalt philosophy, right, that was developed by Pavlov, you know, with his dog, Pavlov's dog, which is a famous psychological philosophy, is just the way the universe works. If you do things that are good and beneficial to your soul, the spirit, and the universe, then you will evolve, rebirth, and receive benefits. And if you do things that are negative, obsessed, selfish, or bad karma, then you will receive a shock or pain. And sometimes you get shocked from something that's left over from a past life. So it's very important to look in perspective as to what is being shown to you from that past life experience, work that out, process that to completion, till you finally are able to let it go, embrace it, and say, no problem. And then you also receive benefits and evolve. A lot of us, when we look at our lives, we find ourselves enslaved by things that are really not of our creation. Did you know that we are conditioned by our parents, right? Manipulative, sometimes dominant, controlling parents, by our brothers and sisters, also that way, by the schools that we're raised in, even by the television and the newspapers. We are literally conditioned by books we read, novels we read, to expect certain things out of life that just is not true. It's not logical. It's not reality. It's fantasy. But we're conditioned to develop a certain set of values, a certain set of statues. It's almost like fundamentalist religion. Like we are conditioned to believe in heaven and hell, which means if you're good and when you die you believe such and such way, you'll ascend to a heavenly state. And if you're bad and you don't do things, you're subject to an eternity of hell. Well, I have actually disproved that philosophy total because I believe the God force is a merciful force, and I believe you're only subjected to a hellish existence if you continue negative karmic behavior. You can ascend to a more heavenly state wherever you are with just an attitude change. Now, that's my own philosophy of life, but it works. And I tend to be in more of a blissful state every day because I'm able to embrace things, process them to completion without allowing anything to have a hold on me, without giving my power up to any one individual source that it would drain me or make me feel bad or down or painful. At this point, I was going to focus on Saturn and Uranus and Neptune today, but if you know anything about astrology, or whether or not you do or not, you know if you're in pain. It could be an insurance problem. It may be a problem with the DMV. It could be a problem with the IRS. It may be some kind of criminal thing. Could be just a relationship problem. See, it doesn't seem so bad. After DMV, insurance, and also criminal, when we're down to relationships, you go, whoa, thank God I don't have the other stuff, Farley. It could be just a psychological imbalance or a career thing. And everything is the same way. For crying out loud, if you do have an IRS or an insurance problem, you cannot let it go. It is a karma, and it is something that you must focus on and process until completion. See what I mean? I think the problem that a lot of us have is that we're frightened of confronting our karma. And when we do have a problem with society or authority or the government or the law or personal people and relationships, we are frightened of the confrontation. The karma compounds the transit. If it's an elongated transit, like from Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, or Pluto in our astrology chart, it can become much worse, right? And if you don't adhere to certain laws of society and certain laws of the government and of the taxes and such, eventually this stuff catches up with you where you must confront it and tackle it, embrace it. Like if you go into court and you have a case up with a criminal problem, well, of course, there's a possibility you got to go to jail. But if you walk in there all shaky and nervous and sweating, instead of walking in there with a happy attitude and just reflect love and light on the judge and the jury, then you're going to stand a lot better chance by embracing the puppy and surviving and winning than you would it by going in there and acting insecure and wimped out and frightened. It's a karma. And you're there for a very important reason. Nothing in the universe happens by accident. Everything in the universe happens for a clear, perfect reason. Because this is your mission. This is your life's lesson. This is your purpose in life. And it's all been brought to you for your own personal process, necessity for completion, and eventual growth. And until you realize that and start tackling this stuff, you're going to be shattered and umbrellaed with compounded problems and then call me up and tell me how miserable you are. And when I say, how are you? Instead of saying, Farley, I'm superior, I'm excellent, you come out with all these negatives, no wonder. No matter how bad you might think your life is, until you start affirming your happiness and your confidence, I'm sorry, but you're just going to compound the negatives and you're going to dig a deeper hole. You know, the only way I have found in life to dig out of the hole is to fill it up with love and warmth and happiness and start affirming positive energy and happiness and confidence no matter what the ordeal, no matter what the problem. You just say, to hell with it, let the universe handle it. I'm going to tackle it and embrace it and face it and complete it. Processing and completion is the key. Why should you allow yourself to be held prisoner by a bad relationship from years ago? Or why should you allow yourself to be held prisoner by anything from years ago? Do you know, some people have not processed and grieved out, gone through the grief state for people that have died. And some people have not grieved their lost love affairs. And some people haven't even let go of their vindictive and vengeance about careers. And you know, the only way to become spiritual and to become centered and balanced and to finally oversee and overcome the entire astrological karmic effect is to just embrace it, process it, complete it, go through the rebirth, and eventually experience that evolution, which is totally blissful in nature. And it's so important, oftentimes, I have no idea what topic I'm going to talk about before I go on the air. I just come in here, grab the celestite, and bingo, it goes. And frankly, I just wrote this topic down, pain, rebirth, and evolution of the soul, seconds before I walked in the control room, because it appears that the topic is literally chosen by all of your higher selves and delivered to me as the one major vibration that is needed to be heard by the entire Astrology Hour network listening audience every weekday. So it's almost like you guys manifest the topic, and I just deliver the energy and the knowledge. I need to hear this stuff myself. Jesus, you know, I sit here, and I come off the air, I listen to the show, and I go, yeah, Farley, that's what you want to tell yourself. Let it go, buddy. You know, because why is it that we grab these situations that are so unhealthy for us, and we're just so stupid, we're so dumb, We should all be like Spock and be able to problem solve situations and just evolve from it and flower into something that much more beautiful. Because so many of us are just so depleted of energy. We're so drained by this uncomfortable vibration that we cling on to that we know is negative. We are special. We deserve better. Processing karma and processing pain are very important. And you know, because we are emotional beings, it takes emotional intervention to process, which means we must learn how to say goodbye. We must learn how to let go, and we must learn how to close that book and end these chapters in our life that have been causing pain, no matter what they are. I know that where there's life, there's hope. But how many times do you have to grab that red button and get that shock, just like that rat in Gestalt psychology, to know that this is not the proper behavior, that the universe is showing you that this is a karma, this is something that needs to be blessed, made a peace with, best way you can, sent off into the light, and go on to the next step. And sometimes it takes shaking, it takes crying, it could take therapy, it may take even hysteria. You know, there's a lot of processing that you must go through. Sometimes you have to wail. One time I broke up with somebody I loved so much, I cried for over 150 days. Every day, just like in my meditation, I had a crying time for about 20 minutes where I would just think about the loss, dump it out. It was so intense, it took me that long to process it. But you know, when I was done, wow, what a growth I went through, because my higher self said, Farley, congratulations for being Spock and recognizing that red button, letting go, pressing the blue button, which is process and completion, and the result is always evolution of the soul. How many bypasses, how many heart attacks do people have to go through until they stop that red button behavior? It's not an accident that going to the hospital to visit my dad and some of these heart patients, and there they are, laying in intensive care, still yelling and screaming at the nurses, still insisting on this and insisting on that, and trying to dominate and control and manipulate. How many times do they have to be shown the red button behavior until they finally humble themselves and give in and relax and calm and finally ascertain the red button behavior? But no, some of them have to keep going back in the hospital over and over again, more hot dogs, more dairy products, and more salt, more sugar, more negative red button behavior, more health problems. They just don't know that red button. So I hope you enjoyed this show, and I hope it helped you, this topic.